say, if you missed Sunday night, our last study message on why Baptist, we have maybe one or two more of those graduate books if you didn't get yours. Everybody that's here got a graduation book, The Trail of Blood. Every family needs to read this book. And you make yourself and you, your spouse both, everybody read that book. Take you less than an hour. And that sort of covers what we preached on Wednesday night. So if you were not here Wednesday night, we got a couple of these left. I strongly encourage you read that book. We also gave out DVDs Sunday night, and I had a good report on them already. Somebody sent a text. I mean, it wasn't but an hour after church Sunday night. And I've got all kinds of response and emails. Other preachers, I've had two or three preachers say, we want to use that. Can we use your stuff? And I said, I'm honored. One up in Virginia, one down here towards Charlotte, and another one somewhere else was talking about using those messages. So thank God, let that word get out. Sunday night, we got down to business now, y'all. Got down to business on why we're Baptist. And you will know the difference. There is a major difference when you go to Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist. All of those groups still sprinkle babies. And if you think about it, the Catholic Church baptized a baby. They believe that they were a Catholic the rest of their life. So that kid grows up, they don't have a choice. I want to be something else, Mama. Nope, you were baptized Catholic. Baptists never believed that. Baptists believe you have a free choice to come to the Lord Jesus Christ or reject Him. Then you're baptized after you receive Christ. That's a big, big difference. And there was millions of people killed over that. It's hard for us to believe that people get killed over that. But obviously you can figure out why they killed them. Because if you keep them in the Catholic Church, you keep the money coming in. And it's just a big money racket. That's awful to say, but it's the truth. That was the Dark Ages. And we dealt with that Sunday night. And we also talked about Sunday night why there's so many Baptist churches that ain't Baptist no more. I can name you four or five right around here that used to be Baptist. Now there's something like the stick or the limb or the rock or something. And we told you why that happened. There's four reasons for that happening. So we dealt with all that stuff Sunday night. If you didn't, they're all on the internet. All you got to do is put in my name, Danny Castle White Baptist, on YouTube. They're all four on there if you missed it. Okay? All right, Luke chapter 15. And what I want to do tonight, what I've been doing here in the month of January is talking about practical everyday living. We're going to talk about practical everyday living, things that affect you in your daily life and me. So tonight we're going to talk about kids and how kids can do sometimes. And just about everybody in here is parents, some of the teenagers and stuff. So we'll talk about the prodigal son. This is a classic story here in Luke chapter 15. And I really wanted to preach on this, and I still want to soon. It's been a long time since I have. But tonight, let's just take this as a Bible study and look at these verses of Scripture. We begin verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. And the Lord said, and He said, a certain man had two sons. Now, this has been called the perfect story. It has about all the elements of love and forgiveness and rebellion and human nature. You're going to see human nature come out in this, especially if you've got more than one kid. If you've got more than one kid, how many of y'all, when your first kid was born, you was determined to make that the best kid in the world, and then when your second one come along, you realize they're completely different. And then the third one comes along, you think, my goodness, they even kin to each other? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's human nature. They're a little bit of mama, they're a little bit of daddy, and they're a little bit of their own. And a little bit of the devil. And a little bit of God. As I preached the other morning. All right? Certain man had two sons. Look at verse 12. And the younger. Now you might know it'd be the younger one, wouldn't you? You might know. Isn't that classic human nature? The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide it unto them his living. Now look at that. The younger of them. the younger said. You might know it was the baby in the family. The baby in the family is the rebellious one. Now that's not always true, but it is normally true. Usually, if you have two or three or four kids, the more you have, the meaner they get. And I've heard that explained different ways. I've heard people say, well, the baby's spoiled. Have you ever heard that? They spoil the baby. Have you ever heard, my girls tonight, Carrie will tell you right now, she'd say, Daddy, you let Carissa and Corey get away with stuff you'd whip me for. And how many of y'all's kids ever said that? Everybody's? And you know, that might be a little true. Maybe it is. I think you try so hard with that first child to make them perfect that you're real hard on them. And then the second one you think, Lord, I don't know. By the third one, you're just ready to give up. And say, whatever, whatever. I don't know if that's true or not, but can anybody here attest to the fact that the younger ones seem to, I don't know. Would anybody admit it that you was a little harder on your older ones and you let the young ones get? That's why grandparents let them get away with murder. Or they'll ruin them. Don't let your kids stay with their grandparents no more than you absolutely have to. You are raising a rebel. I don't know where you think my sweetheart banging. But the younger kid comes to Daddy and says, Daddy, give me. Give me. Isn't that just like the younger one? Give me. Give me. You see how that couldn't be. That ain't in the Koran. That ain't in other religious books. That's human nature. What's some kids' favorite word when they're little? Give me. I want this. I want that. Molly, I'm telling you what, that kid, she can want more stuff than any young'un I've ever seen. And I've been around a lot of kids, but I want that. I want that. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? Sometimes you just want to say, shut up! You know? Because I don't know. Have you got one of your kids that's always, give me. Give me. Give me. I want this. Father, give me. You know what he wanted? He wanted his part of the inheritance. He didn't want to wait till his daddy died. He said, everything that you're going to give me, I want to go ahead and get it now. Then, look at verse 13. Not many days after. When you know it, 13. 13's a number of rebellion. You notice when that kid gets 13, something happens to him? Have you noticed that? I don't believe the chapter and verse markings are an accident. I'm not. All the 13s in the Bible ain't bad, but 85% of them are. 85%. It's not an accident. Verse 13, he run away. Verse 13, he run away. I've heard people say, I don't know, I couldn't even tell you the times. People call me and said, that was a good kid. I raised them in church all life, but as soon as they got 13 or 14, they just went wild. Went wild. Now, 13 seems, you know, to us now, 13 seems like a little baby almost. But you remember how you was when you was 13? You thought you knew everything, didn't you? You thought you had it all figured out. And you know, 13 now seems like, oh gosh, they shouldn't even be allowed out of the house. That's what's saying about them. Listen, people, we're living in a different day and time. I mean, years ago, people said, my daughter turned 13 and she's sneaking out the window at night, running around with boys and everything else. And that was back then. Listen, we got girls coming to this church on our buses that don't sneak out to go to their girl boyfriend. They sneak out to go to their girlfriend. They come to our church 12 and 13 years old. That's unbelievable. That's just absolutely unbelievable. They ain't even had time to even their mind develop yet, and they're already perverted because of that phone and that internet. I'm telling you, you might get tired of hearing me say it. This internet business, phone business, it's destroying our generation. It really is. I mean, we're having a generation of perverted. And if you think your kids are not curious enough to look, then you got your head in the sand. Any kid is. Just out of curiosity. I'm not saying they're perverts. Just saying, I wonder what that is. I wonder what that is. I wonder what that is. Click. All it takes, click, and it gets in there, and it don't ever get out. That junk gets in you, it don't ever get out. It'll stay with you your whole life. what you see when you're 13, 14, 15. And this little boy, when he got 13, he took all his stuff, run away from home into a far country. See verse 13? That far country, that's Hollywood. That's the world. Now that boy, they lived out in the country evidently. He took all his stuff and he moved to the big city and got him a job. Or he lived, probably just lived off his inheritance. He didn't work. And got him an apartment and got him a brand new car. And got, in other words, he went to college and mom and dad paid for it and he went wild as a buck. That's the picture of it now. The problem now is the far country ain't even far no more. The far country's in your living room. Nowadays, the far country's in your hand. It's hard to believe still to me that you can hold something in your hand and punch a button and see anything you can imagine. How to raise cows in India. Bing, there it is. What to do with a toothache if you got it knocked out with a hammer. Bing, there it is. You name it. That's a dangerous, the far country ain't far no more, y'all. It's right here. All I can tell you is, Ethan and Molly don't have access to the internet unless, you know, Kelly gets on there and they do something. If your kid has access to the internet, I don't know. You better crack down on them tight. I'm telling you, you better. It'd be some kind of filter, some kind of something. Because if you give them unlimited, unrestricted access to the internet, you are making a big mistake. Big mistake. You know why? Because of human nature, or flesh. You know, we're fallen. I mean, you hear it all the time. Kid got killed, kid got abducted, kid got kidnapped, met somebody on the internet. It's unbelievable. So he takes his stuff and he runs away in the far country. And the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, how up to date is that? Partying. He went and partied. You know, that's all some kids want to do when they get, as soon as I get to college, all I'm going to do is party. I've heard them say it. Mom and dad pays for them to go shack up and party. Man, I ain't paying one of mine to go shack up and party. No way. If they want to get an education and really better themselves, that's one thing. If they want to go to college and shack up with their boyfriend and girlfriend and party and expect me to pay for it, they got another thing coming. I ain't financing them to waste their substance of riotous living. And if they do, I'll cut it off immediately. Immediately. So he parties and he lives it up. Verse 14. And when he spent all, every word in this, he spent all. What does that mean? He blowed all that money. You know, when you're partying and living up, you can go through a lot of money really quick. I don't know if anybody in here is willing to admit it, but I guess there's probably some of y'all spent a lot of money in a short amount of time before, ain't you? On nothing. And I mean, I never did no drugs or drink or nothing like that. But I remember I'd just go somewhere like me and these boys would go to the beach and we'd spend all our money at a restaurant or playing them stupid games or rides or something. First thing you know, you spent all. You're broke. You're broke. He spent it every bit. He thought he was going to live off interest, but he spent it all, man. And a mighty famine arose, verse 14. Now, what does that mean? He spent all his money, and then a famine arose. Ain't nothing to eat. That means this. You can party and live it up all you want to, but it ends quick, and your party's over. Your party's over. How many people have you seen out here? How many people did you grow up with, and every time you went to town, you saw them riding up down the road, hollering and screaming, they was living the high life, but about a year or two later, they was in jail, they was in rehab, there's people that used to sit right here on these seats that are in rehab tonight. You know why? They wasted it with riotous living. Rose a mighty famine in the land. Famine comes up, and he began to be in want. So he goes and gets him a job feeding pigs. That's for a Jewish boy. That's a tough job to have. They wouldn't touch swine. And he said he went and got him a job feeding these pigs. And he's so hungry in verse 16. that he wanted to eat the pig's food, husk, corn husk, that the swine did eat. And look at verse 16, no man gave unto him. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Where's all his party people? Where's his girlfriend? Where's all them guys he partied with? He had all kinds of friends when he had that money, and he's buying the drinks, and he had the apartment, and they was all coming over, and man, a good old so-and-so. As soon as he got broke, as soon as he lost it all, no man gave to him. Listen, people, you'll find out the hard way if you're not careful. This world don't care one hoot about you. And they'll use you. They'll take, you know, I was thinking about them. They was talking about the Grammys the other night. I did not watch the Grammys. I didn't want to suffer through some mess like that. I can't stand stuff like that. I didn't watch it. I saw they've already got on the internet stuff about all the satanic stuff they do. They always do some kind of, it's a satanic ritual, the whole thing is. And but you know what, them poor little old girls like Miley Cyrus and old Kesha and them, they don't love them kids. They use them girls. Them producers, they use them to make millions of dollars. And just as soon as they get a little heavy set or a little wrinkle, they'll push them out and get them another young one they can make money off of. He began to be in want, and no man gave to him. I feel sorry for some of the people in Hollywood gave their whole life, and now they're some ugly old hag somewhere, and they don't give them an air in a jug. You know why? They didn't care about them to start with. They didn't care about them. You know what? You'll find out real quick, this world don't care about you. They don't. They don't. It's a mean, cruel world. That old boy, where's his buddies at? Where's all his party friends? No man gave to him. He called and said, man, I ain't got nothing to eat. Can you help me? Well, I ain't got nothing either, man. Too bad. It's your tough luck. They didn't call him. They didn't come visit him. His daddy back home worried about him. And, you know, we'll get to this in a minute, but, you know, when everything gets really bad, you know who you've really got? Your family. You've got your family. When you're dying, it'll be your family standing around your bed. That's awful to say, but, buddy, that's who you've really got you can depend on. These people out here in the world, they ain't going to be there for you. They ain't going to be there for me. They don't care. They don't care. Look at what he said. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he woke up, the light came on. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? He said, one day he just went, duh, my daddy's got people that work for him that's better off than I am. Servants. I'll go home and I'll beg him to let me be like one of them. Let me live out in the servants' quarters. And Lord, they're better off than I am. The light came on. He came to himself. I like the way it said he came to himself. You know what that means? He was temporarily out of his right mind. When you're out here living like the devil, you are temporarily out of your right mind. And one of these days, the light's going to come on. You might be sitting in prison. You might be in rehab. You might be in an emergency room. But somewhere down the road, you're going to think, oh my goodness, what have I done? My daddy's got people that work for him better off than I am. I left the church. I left what I knew was good. I left God's blessings. And now I'm out here and I've lost everything. Prodigal son. And he said, I will arise and go to my father. Old Billy Kelly wrote that song, like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. But the shepherd sought me through the heat and the cold. And the 90 and 90 left in the fold to find this lost sheep who was hungry and cold. I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. My, my, what a song. He said he came to himself in verse 18. Maybe he was 18 by now, I don't know. I'm just guessing. He said, I will arise. That's what I did when I was 18, and go to my father and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, verse 18 said, I'll go to my father. He was still his father. Verse 18 said, I'll say, Father. He's still his father. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But he's still his son. The whole time he was gone, he was still his father. He was still his son. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. You can get out there and wander away from God and do some mighty dumb things. But if you're really his child, if you really belong to him, I mean you're bona fide, washed in the blood, bone of his bone, part of his body, his spirit inside you, you're still going to be his child and you're going to be a miserable person. You're going to be a miserable person. And he said, I'll go and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. And he came, verse 20, he said he rose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. My, that's a great homecoming there. And said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, before we get to that next verse, look here. The story is, I mean, it's just like a movie on TV. Maybe the daddy's sitting out on the front porch. I wonder what he's doing. I wonder if he's still alive. I wonder if the music's playing in the background. About that time, well, coming way down yonder the road, he sees something walking up through there. He said, is that him? Is that him? And the Bible said the father ran. He said he ran to meet him. Come off down through here and he met him. That's the way the Lord does. You know, when people start coming to him, he'll come to you. You know, you don't have to come all the way to him. He'll meet you, buddy. He'll meet you. And he come and rugged him and hugged him, hugged his neck. My, what a picture. What a picture. Ain't nothing like that in the Koran. Allah don't do stuff like, Allah don't, it's not loving. And man, he hugged that boy and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, my son, my son, my son. You know, a lot of times when you get out there and you get, well, the devil will make you think God's mad at you and he hates you and he don't never want nothing to do to you. But boy, that man was sitting at home wondering where his son was and if his son was ever coming home. And man, when he seen that boy coming, he said, my boy, my boy. I mean, think about it. All you daddies in here, you think about it. If your son was off out somewhere and you didn't know where he was and you didn't know if he was alive or dead. You hadn't heard from him in ages. And all of a sudden he comes walking in. You know how you'd feel? Boy, I tell you, that would thrill your heart. You'd hug his neck and say, my boy, my boy. Sure he had messed up, but he was alive. Sure he had wasted his substance, but that was his boy. And he said, I'm sorry, Daddy, I'm sorry. And he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's a picture of how the Lord does us when we come back to him, folks. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. Some people's picture of God is, well, no, you got yourself into this mess. Stay out there and get yourself out. That ain't the Father. That ain't the way the Father handled it, was he? Now, we'll see in a minute. The other brother got mad. He got mad. That other brother had some sin in his life that was different than this guy's sin. This guy's sins of the flesh. This guy's sins of the spirit. He had jealousy and self-righteousness and pride. And you got to watch out for that. But look here, his daddy said to his servants, bring the best robe, verse 22. That's important that you see that. He didn't say, all right, now you're second class now. Get one of the second class robes that's used and everything and put it on him. And I'm going to watch you a while to make sure you're going to stay here. He got the best robe. Completely restored him first class. First class. That's a great, great blessing. He put the best robe on that boy and put it on him and put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. He must have been barefooted and had mud all over him and everything else. And then look what it said in verse 23. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Look, we're cooking steak. We're cooking, prime rib. Filet mignon. And buddy, we're going to have a big feast. Bring the absolute best beef we got out there. We're taking him to the steakhouse right here at home. We're going to pick it out of steak that thick. My son's alive. He was out there. Thank the Lord he's back. Woo! We're going to have a party. Buddy, that's the way that the Father did to him. Ain't you glad God's like that? Ain't you glad? Let us eat and be merry. Everything sounded great. They started having a big party. Now we'll switch gears here, and I'll be done. Verse 25. The elder son, his brother, was what? In the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now he was out there. They didn't know where he was at. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't text, say, your brother's home. Come on, we're having a party. No, he didn't even know it. He was out there working in the field. And he heard music and dancing. So here he's out there working all day long. Now think about this. Before you get too mad at this elder brother, think about, you would have probably felt the same way, and I probably would have too. Really, think about it. I'm out here working all day long. I'm wore out. My legs are tired. I'm just barely able. I'm dirty. And I got home and I hear, what's going on in here? And you call, hey, what's going on in there? And the guy said, oh, your brother come home and your daddy killed a fatted calf and they're all having a big party. Oh, they are, huh? Wouldn't that hit you wrong? It sure would. It sure would. I mean, it couldn't have been no worse. Man worked all day long. They didn't even tell me. I wasn't invited. He's out there running around with harlots and prostitutes and everything. And daddy has a big party for him. And he said, I ain't even going. I don't want to go. They said, we killed the fatty calf. I don't care. I got Doritos in my apartment. I'll just go home and pick me up, drink me a Pepsi and eat Doritos. And they said, come on, man. He's killed the fatty calf. He said, I ain't going in there. And they went in there and told him, said, hey, your older son, mad as a devil out here. So daddy goes out and says, what's wrong? Let's read the rest of this. Watch this. What's human nature? His daddy said, and he asked, calling the servants and asked what it meant. Verse 27, he said, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. See the King James English there? Safe and sound. We still say that today. That's where it comes from, safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, it came his father out and entreated him. And he answered him and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. I ain't never gave you no trouble. I ain't never been arrested. I've never been on drugs. You've never had to come downtown and bail me out. And here this brat comes home that's wasted your living on a bunch of prostitutes and partying, and you've killed for him the fatted calf. You never done that for me, and I ain't even never broke your heart. Isn't that human nature? And you're going to have that with your kids. You're going to have one of your kids sometime get mad because they think you favored one of the other ones over them, especially if you have kids from a former marriage, or you're going to have this, I'm telling you. It's going to be hard to be fair to everybody and treat everybody the same and not one of them think you're going to pray. Like, when my girls got their license, I bought them all a car. I made Carrie work. She got one a nicer car, and I made her get a job. I said, if you're going to have that car, you're going to have to get a job and at least pay your insurance. Now, if it's a boy, I think you ought to be harder on them. You ought to say, you're as healthy as I am. Go get you a job and buy your own car. But if it's a girl, you're sort of a sucker for girls, I guess. And so I bought them a car. And so then you buy one. The next one gets their license. You got to buy them one. And then the next one gets their license. You got to buy them one. And I didn't buy them a nice car. I bought them an older car that was decent, you know. And I never did have too much trouble. I was trying to think if I could give you an example of my girls, but I don't really. God was good to us. We never had a lot of that fussing or jealousy. Matter of fact, we never fussed really at the house. Nothing, just a little bickering now and then, but the Lord really blessed us. I don't know how we made it. I don't know how we made it as good as we did. But we was mostly peaceful. And most of the time, I'd sit them down and I'd talk to them. And I'd say, now look, she's this, she's that. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. You keep your mouth shut. And that's the way we'd do it. And sometimes when we'd have a problem, I'd say, we're going to have a family meeting. They go, oh. And we'd all sit down in the living room. And I just talk. I say, everybody be quiet. And I talk and say, look, we can't make everybody happy. here's what we're going to do. And try to be fair. You can't favor one of your kids over the other kid. If you do, it'll mess both of them up. You got to treat them all right, alike. But there are times one of them has a special need. There are times one of them needs extra attention and help. And you just got to ask God to give you wisdom. That's all I can say. That's to ask God for wisdom. There's no book you can read. There's no. You'd be better off to pray and get full of God and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And He will. The Holy Spirit will lead you. What did people do hundreds of years before they wrote all these books? They read the Bible and they prayed and the Holy Ghost led them. And this daddy, he said, look, son. Look how his daddy handled this. I like the way he handled it. Verse 31, he said unto him, son, you're ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet. I done the right thing, that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead. He's alive again. He was lost his family. Man, don't you realize he's my son too? And sometimes your kids don't realize why you should love the other one just as much as you love them. But they've got to know that. I love them just like I love you. And you can't play favorites. You can't. You can't do that. I'm telling you, you're making a mistake by playing favorites. You'll ruin both of them. The one you're favoring and the one you're not favoring. There's a lot. Everybody gets to do the same thing. Everybody gets to go to the same place. Make it even and fair. But he told that boy, he said, all that I have is thine. Now, I'm assuming he lost out on his inheritance completely. So when his daddy really did die, he didn't get nothing. Right? He didn't get nothing. The older son got everything daddy had when he finally did die. And that old boy had to rake and scrape probably the rest of his life for what he had. That's a picture of if you get out and mess around and live like the devil, you're still going to heaven. God's going to get you to heaven. He has to knock your brains out to get you there. But you'll lose your inheritance. You'll lose your inheritance in the millennium, your reward. He lost. He said, all that I have is thine. He done got his half and blowed it. You're getting everything I own. That boy got the house. He got the sheep. He got the servants, the barns. He got everything. And he said, I'm not favoring him. You're getting everything I've got. Now, do you ask the Lord to give you wisdom like that with your kids? Ask Him to give you wisdom like that with your kids. You know, y'all know bad things happen, and it does in everybody's life. My girls went through some bad times. And Carrie was a lot older than the other two. And the other two were just little. I had 18 months. One was 18 months. And we'd go places, and I always told Carrie, I said, Carrie, I'm going to make this up to you. I told that, every time you have to babysit these girls, every time you have to, I'm going to make it up to you somehow. And I try to do something special for her to let her know I appreciated her doing right. And you're going to have to learn to do that with your kids. Let them know you appreciate them if they're having a hardship, especially if it's your fault. You better make it real clear that you're going to make it up to them. And I always told the girl, you know, used to, people in the church would call, something bad would happen, something bad, and I'd say, girls, hush. They'd say, but Daddy, it's not fair. And I made them do everything. They could never miss a service, never. I don't care if they're sick. I'd lay them down in my office and give them Tylenol. And they said, but Daddy, and I'd say, it's not fair. It's not fair. I'll make it up to you. So I try to do that. And be straight and honest with them. But be firm with them. Don't let them con you. Don't let them con you. They're little cons. They'll try to con you, man. And mothers, you don't need to be her friend. You need to be her mama. Daddy, you don't need to be his buddy. You need to be his daddy. You got buddies at school. Be his daddy. Amen. And I'm not saying you can't do stuff together, but you know, I know some women, they try to be their daughters. Like me and her, the friend, we're sort of like together, hunting a boyfriend together. No. Nope. That's wrong role to play. That's it's wrong role to play. I've seen mamas and daughters both have a crush on the same guy. That's sick. That ain't the right role, mama. Get it. Do it right. Be the adult. Be the adult. Okay? I didn't mean to get off on all that. I'm done. Anybody got any questions, comments, or anything? You're quiet tonight. It's amazing how much you can get reading that book. I advise you, stick your nose in that right there and ask God to speak to you. All right, let's stand. Let's pray and we'll ask God to help.